Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the prophecy of Ezekiel and the chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, and we'll read together the first five verses of the chapter. Ezekiel chapter 37, reading from verse 1. And the word of God says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." Amen. Let's seek the Lord at this stage. Encourage every one of you to join with me in prayer and ask that the Lord will speak to you this day. Our gracious God, we do thank you that we can gather on this first Sabbath of a new year, and we especially are conscious, O God, of the need to hear thy word. And we pray that you will give your word this day. And we ask, O Lord, that we will be instructed by it and encouraged by it. O Lord, speak, we pray. We are tired of hearing the voices of men and all of their opinions. We want to hear the still small voice. So, God, we ask of thee that you will be pleased to minister to us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now we turn to this most instructing and powerful vision. In order that we may learn how God works and how God revives his church when it is in a state of decline. This vision can most easily be viewed as speaking of the church of God and of its need at any moment and any time of a move of God. It's important for all of God's people then to know the manner in which Christ not only keeps his church, but how he advances it and enlivens it by his Holy Spirit. If we are to see a move of God in our days, then it will be in accord with his word. Therefore, it is important for us to seek the word of God in order to learn how it is that God works. And so we turn to this vision. Now you will notice that it is clear from the first three verses that God wants us to feel our utter dependence upon him. The question is posed, can these bones live? And so before God begins to transform this situation, he wants his people to confess their need. He wants them to be aware of how difficult the situation is, how much they are reliant upon his power. He poses this question in order to induce from the prophet a confession of his need of God. And the prophet replies in verse 3, "O Lord God, thou knowest." And so Ezekiel confesses that he is powerless to do anything about this situation. He is completely dependent upon the Lord to come and to do a divine work. Now, this is something which is displayed frequently throughout our Lord's own ministry. And I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 9 for a moment. Mark chapter 9 and the verse 23 and 24. And here we will see the Lord dealing with this man in the very same way as we see here in Ezekiel 37. Mark chapter 9 and the verse 23. And Jesus says, this is the man whose son has the demon. He comes to the Lord. The Lord says in verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now you will notice that the way that the Lord deals with this man. Because Christ says to him, if you completely trust in me, if you rely entirely upon my power, then all things are possible. You will notice then that the Lord wants to draw out of him an acknowledgement of this. He says to him, if you believe, all things are possible. The Lord wants to see whether this man is really dependent upon him. And he says these words in order that the man would be brought to a place where he says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And you see, the Lord is moved by the cry of dependence. He answers the prayers of those who desire to feel their dependence on God. I wonder whether or not you feel that way this morning about yourself, your family, and the church of God. Do you feel a deep sense of dependence on God? Are you conscious of the fact that without him you can do nothing? The Lord would desire that you confess that to him today. He is the one who comes to the aid, not of a proud or a self-sufficient people, but a people who are relying upon him wholly. Now, this sense of dependence is critical to what follows. Because you will notice that God's remedy is expressed as being the proclamation of his word. Do you notice that in verse 4 of Ezekiel 37? Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And so here then is revealed how God will change this situation. While man is the mouthpiece and the means of the word being proclaimed, God himself is doing the work. And we notice that in verse 14, because we read there, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And the point is that even though man is working here, even though man will be speaking God's words, God is the one who is at work. God is the one who is about to accomplish an action. Now, this is most important, is it not? Because preaching to these bones, is that not a seemingly futile action? Is that not something that surely is destined to failure? Preaching to bones. We must realize that the situation presented is no difficulty to God. And therefore, it is with an eye to God's power and to God's authority, and with a profound consciousness of his dependence on God, that the preacher must follow his master's will and to preach the word with strong faith. I bring this to your attention this morning, especially on this occasion of the first Sabbath of this new year, because I desire to remind you of this, the vital nature of the preaching of the word in the advance of the church. And I would point out to you that essential to any revival throughout history has been the faithful declaration of the word of God. There is no revival in history which we can turn to that occurred without the proclamation of the word. You see, it is Scripture being declared that is the instrument in every true work of the Spirit. I wonder whether or not today you are convinced of that. And this passage in Ezekiel 37 should reinvigorate our confidence in the preached word. I wonder whether or not today you are someone who is confident that this is how God works. This whole idea is under attack. The idea that preaching is an effective means of reaching the modern world is something that is disputed in the church at large. And so I wonder whether or not you today are somebody who is confident that it is by the faithful preaching of the word of God that the Lord will work in his church and in this world. You see, preaching is an act of faith. It is a submission to the sovereign will of God. It is something that is done in reliance upon the sufficiency of God. And it is the most effective means of reaching this world. And you might think, well, that is but a matter for the preacher, but do you not understand that you show your view of preaching by how you listen to the word? And I wonder whether or not today, do you listen to the word of God with this thought in mind that this is the way that God will work in my heart, that God will produce in me godliness and likeness to Christ? You see, you will show by the way that you listen to the preaching of the word of God how you view it. I wonder then, as you listen, do you show that you see it as essential and vital, not only to your own soul and to your family, but to the church? And so I want to consider this theme then of the preaching of the word, something that is absolutely essential to revival. I want you to observe with me firstly the command to preach. The command to preach. We see this in verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them. And then notice what we read in verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And so Ezekiel then was charged, or ordained, ordered by God to this task of prophesying to the bones. Now the word prophesy, it refers to the way, the manner in which the word of the Lord came to these bones. And it was a public announcement, a verbal proclamation of a message that God is the author of. And so we could read these words in verse 4 in this way. Again he said unto me, preach upon these bones. Preach to them. Now let us think about this for a moment. Because it is the fact of this command that gives authority to the preaching. You see, Ezekiel was under obligation to obey the will of God. He was commissioned by the King of Kings. And therefore, as Ezekiel stood up to preach, he did so with that authority by which Moses himself declared before Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." And so this command then of God invests the preacher with the right to command and to compel men to submit and obey to the Lord. And this is the case, is it not, for any ambassador? He speaks with the degree of authority which his king possesses. The greater the authority of the king, the greater authority the ambassador has. And he has the right to exercise that authority in his role as ambassador because he has been commanded by his king. Now surely then, given that that is true, what assurance this command gives to us? What assurance this command to preach? Because the most authoritative thing that we can do as a church is preach the word. Do you understand that today? The most authoritative thing, the most powerful thing the church can do in this world is declare the word of God. Now I want you to turn with me to Matthew 8 and the verse 8 and 9. And I hope to illustrate what I've just said to you. Matthew 8 and the verse 8 and 9. This is that wonderful scene where the centurion comes to the Lord for the healing of his servant. I want you to observe what the centurion says. Matthew chapter 8 and the verses 8 and 9. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Now, do you notice the connection that is made between speaking the word only and authority? The centurion says, "I am a man under authority, and I am a man who has authority over others." And what that authority means is that all I need to do is speak the word. I say to this man, go, and he does it. I say to another, you come, and he comes. The point is that the authority which he has means that he has but to speak the word only. And as we think of this scene, our Lord himself, such is his authority that he didn't even need to go to the place where the servant was. Isn't that amazing, boys and girls? Jesus Christ was there speaking to this man, and he says to the centurion, "Your servant is healed." He wasn't even in the building. He didn't even touch the man, but the centurion went home and his servant was healed. There's the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. He but spake the word. But I want you to see that connection between the speaking of the word only and authority. Because the point again is emphasized, the most authoritative thing the church can do is preach the word. Now surely this is evident in a negative sense in the failure of the modern pulpit, which largely speaking has lost its effectiveness because it has no authority. I wonder if you noticed that. Whenever the leading clergymen in in our land speak up, do people really listen to them? When the Archbishop of Canterbury, for instance, speaks his message, do you notice that political leaders take notice of what he says? It is interesting that even over this past year in the pandemic, that largely speaking, clergymen have been silent. And the pulpit seems to have no authority. And it's very obvious why. It's because Scripture has been put aside for the opinions of men. Clergymen speak on issues of morality and psychology and politics. We're too frightened to bring the word of God. We don't want to offend people. And therefore the pulpit has become unauthoritative. There is this command that gives authority, but there's something else that gives further authority. And it was that the message that he declared was not his own. Did you notice that? In verse 4, it is very clear. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This was not Ezekiel's message. It was a divine word. It was the Almighty God's voice. Again, I refer you to the example of the ambassador, because the ambassador only has authority to speak what his sovereign has bidden. The ambassador would be usurping his position if he were to go and to say what he thinks and bring his own word. No, he is only there to speak for his king, and he dare not say anything else other than what his sovereign has said. And that is precisely what must happen in preaching. You see, the kind of preaching that is in view here is like the prophet Ehud. Do you remember when he went into the king of Moab? He said, I have a message from God unto thee. And no other word can bring about any change at all. But my dear friend, what a message. Have you ever thought about the message? Have you ever thought about this word? It is this word that brought creation into being. It is this word which sent the Son into this world to accomplish redemption. It sent the Spirit to apply it. It is this word that has raised the dead and healed the sick. It is this word that has changed untold millions of people. It is this word that has transformed nations. It is this word which we have before us here this morning, a life-giving word, a powerful word. What a message it is. Do you not realize how wonderful it is? We look at the world we live in this morning, and men and women are stumbling in the dark. How do we make sense of the events? How do we know what to do? Why is the world in the condition it is? What's the answer? But isn't it wonderful, dear Christian, to pick up your Bible and here is explained to you why the world is as it is? And it gives you a message that makes sense of the world and tells you your problem. It shows you what God has done. Is that not tremendous? What a message it is that we as a church have to proclaim. Dare we offend God by not being convinced of its power? Dare we think that this message is not the greatest message that can be proclaimed? The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 reminded the Thessalonian believers of this. He said, the word that has been preached to you is not the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And therefore, we should accompany our obedience to this command with a strong conviction that what God has ordained is perfect and is powerful. And we have to do that in the face of the seeming foolishness of it. You see, this is the issue. This is where so many fall. Because Ezekiel was told, I want you to bring the word of God to this valley of bones. Oh, what? Do you not see then, this is where our faith is tested. Do we believe that what God has ordained is the effective way? Oh yes, our voices cannot penetrate, but God's voice is so piercing. It is so enlivening that whosoever he will hear and will respond. I want you to understand something today, that when God's word is faithfully preached in the Spirit, the omnipotence of God is unleashed. There's something wonderful about this, that God makes bare his arm when his word is preached. You see, what happens is whenever we turn away from this, we turn away the power and the authority of God. If we turn away from preaching to the Eucharist or to talks, plays, PowerPoint presentations, yes, even to testimonies, then we can be certain that revival will never come. You see, where the pulpit is not central, the Spirit is not honored, the Word is not valued, and the God of revival will not bless it. I wonder today, as you hear that, you say, yes, that is true. And you know it to be true in your own experience. You recognize the vitality and the central nature of the preaching of the word in the worship of the church, in the ministry of the church, in the effectiveness of the church. Oh, let us be convinced today. This here is the command to preach. But then I want you to observe, secondly and finally, the content to preach. The content to preach. We read there in verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now when I refer to the content to preach, it is obvious, as we have noticed, that the word of God is the content. But I want us to think a little bit more in detail upon this. Let us really examine this scene. Because the word addressed the people where they are. Do you notice the way the Lord speaks? He says, say unto them, O ye dry bones. And so this is preaching then that is direct and confronting and convicting. It is preaching that addresses these bones where they are and as they are. He says to Ezekiel, prophesy upon these bones. In other words, these bones are to be addressed where they are. And in the condition that they're found, Ezekiel is to make them his interest and concern. He is to make them the object of his appeals and persuasions. In other words, the content to preach is what God says of us, where we are. You see, effective preaching will tell people how God sees them. And isn't that the issue that so often is the problem? We don't like to be told what God says of us and what God thinks of us. We don't want to be rebuked. We don't want to be shown that we're wrong. We don't want our heart dealt with. We don't want this word which discerns our thoughts and exhorts us to repent to be spoken. We don't want that kind of scrutiny. But you see, that's the issue. That's what makes this so powerful, is that this word comes to people where they are, and it pulls away all of the pretense and all of the walls that people have put up, and it exposes us as we really are. And it deals with the true problem. Oh, have you not felt that in your own life? Think back to your conversion. Did not the word of God come and it reached somewhere it had never reached before, and it pulled back all the objections, and suddenly you felt the weight of the word. You felt that it was speaking to you. You felt that God, as it were, had written this word just for you, where you are. And all of a sudden you realized, God is speaking to me. Wasn't that a powerful moment, a powerful time in your life? You realized that God knew all about you. God knew of your sin, and God was speaking to you. This is the content to preach. The word addressed the people where they were. But then as well, the word expressed the will and the purpose of God. In verse 5, the Lord says, "Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Do you notice how often God says, "I will"? I will. And so the point is that the message, the content to be preached, is what God has done. That's it. What is the ministry of the church but to declare to the world what God has done? How do you see this? This isn't a message about man. It isn't man-centered. It isn't catered to man's sensibilities. No, this is a message that says to the world, here is what God has done. Again, isn't this so powerful? Because the world needs to know what God has done and is doing. Here is a word that declares the will of God, that gives the promises of God, that assures us of his intention to revive the humble and the dependent. And therefore, this is a message then that is one of hope and comfort and grace and renewal. You see, this is a wonderful thing. Is if man is giving the message, what hope is there? But when God speaks into our lives and into our world, all of a sudden we realize that there is hope, because the one who is speaking says of himself in Jeremiah 32 and the verse 27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Oh, It is the all-powerful Christ that has willed his church be built by preaching, and we can be sure that he will do it. Now, as I end this message, perhaps you are here this morning saying, what does this mean for me? You are a dear child of God seeking to live for the Lord. And I trust that you are desiring to see revival. You're earnest in prayer. You're seeking to be a godly influence in your workplace, in your home. You're seeking to raise a godly family. You might say, what does this have to do with me? What does what the Word of God teaches about preaching, what does this mean for you as a Christian? What can you do? Let me put to you a number of things. Given that all these things are true, you should respect and honor the pulpit. And you should prepare your heart before the Sabbath for the preaching of the word, so that you will be expectant and sincere and teachable. Now, I wonder whether or not you're doing that. Do you prepare your heart before the Lord's day? Do you come with an expectancy that, isn't it wonderful, today I go to church to hear the word of God. God is going to speak to me today. And do you come sincerely? You genuinely want God to speak to you. You genuinely want to be taught. You want to be instructed. You have a teachable heart. As the word of God comes and perhaps you're rebuked, you don't react in arrogance or pride, but you are moldable. You are open to God's word. I wonder whether or not you listen to the word of God that way. And I wonder whether or not you are passing that attitude on to your children. Boys and girls, today, you are come to church to hear God speak to you. What a privilege. What a wonderful thing. Sunday isn't the worst day of the week. It's the best day of the week. And what a privilege. Bring this into your family. We go together to the Lord's house as a family to hear the word of God. Listen to the sermon as though God were speaking directly to you. Have a high view of the pulpit because it is the continued manifestation of the prophetic ministry of Christ. It is the ordained means of converting sinners and building up the saints in faith and love. Parents today, do you want to see your children saved? You've got to have them here under the preaching of the word. And you yourself, you want to be stronger in faith. You want to glorify God more in your life. You want to be a better witness for God at work. Mother, you want to honor the Lord in your home. You've got to be here under the word. But most of all, I call upon you today to pray for the pulpit's ministrations, to be powerful and faithful and effective. And I'm sure your dear pastor would say the same to you. Pray for me. You see, there is nothing greater than you can do for your pastor and your minister but to be faithful in prayer for him during the week. Are you praying for your minister? Are you praying that God will meet with him in the study, that God will anoint him with the Holy Ghost, that God will open his word to you and direct him so that when you come to church, there's this wonderful harmony. God has met with the preacher. God has given him a word, and it's the word that God has given for you. You see, that is why you and I need to be in prayer during the week, praying that God's servants will be blessed by the infilling of the Spirit, so that the Word of God will be accompanied by the irresistible work of the Holy Paraclete. Now, do you begin to understand, I hope, the vital role that you have to play in all of this? Yes, it is the preacher who stands in the pulpit and proclaims the Word of God. But I wish to exhort you, dear people of God today, you have a vital role in all of this. To pray for the ministry of the Word, and to come to God's house earnestly and sincerely longing for God to speak. Do you know what will happen when you do that? God will speak to you. God's word will come with power to you. When you come to his house with your heart open, longing, do you know what God will do? He will bring his word to your heart. You will be blessed and instructed in God's holy word. Oh, I trust that the word of God this morning will have been an encouragement to you and a reminder, perhaps, but an exhortation in the year ahead and in your life. God has given the command to preach his word, and let us be about it. Let us be convinced of it. Let us long for it and enjoy it, and benefit and move forward in God and in our Christian lives under this blessed means of God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen.